calling 911 when in an accident may just not be enough. Car accident, remember. After 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service. Non-employee spokesperson.
Yesterday afternoon, I was filling in for Ethan on with Captain Curtis, and the Dion Waiters story broke. And then tonight, Frito here along with Barry Jackson. We're just waiting for the James Johnson news. Do you think there's a reasonable chance that before we get off the air at 10 o'clock, this will be resolved and announced?
Well, I don't know if it'll be announced, but all indications, it's done.
Do you think that guys like you or Woj will report that a deal has been reached? Before 10 o'clock.
That's quite possible. It's going to cost the Heat a lot of money, too. It's going to cost in the neighborhood of the Waiters deal. We'll see if it ends up being more than that, but certainly a salary starting in double digits, which is going to end up consuming a lot of Heat cap spaces. We've talked about the last 2 months. This is what's going to end up happening.
He really wanted to come back here, did James Johnson. And you were reported, you talked to him last Friday, said he was willing to wait until the Hayward situation was resolved. Barry, as far as you know, I mean, other teams knew he wanted to come back here. Did other teams engage him in serious talks?
I know there were some conversations with Houston. The Clippers had some level of interest. I don't know, though, that he got any offer beyond a mid-level, which for some teams is $8.5 million. In the Heat's case, it's only $4.3 million because they're using cap room. So I don't know that he ever got a double-digit offer elsewhere. But frankly, you know, when Serge Ibaka is getting something over $20 million a year, and Evan Turner in Portland is getting $17 million a year, James Johnson deserves something in the $12 to $14 million range. Now, I know some might say, look, it's only 1 year of really high-quality NBA work. This guy was a journeyman. But to me, there's no reason to think he's going to regress to what he was because his body has been transformed.
To me, and you tell me if you disagree, I was talking yesterday with Curtis. That, to me, shows me that Eric Spoelstra, who's obviously going to be heavily invested on any big decision like this, but he might be really lobbying, saying, look, obviously, now we see Pat Riley at practices all the time, but it's Spoelstra and a staff that work, you know, they're hip deep in working with these guys. Is it him saying, look, with Dion Waiters, with James Johnson, we're just possibly scratching the surface with these guys. The arrow is still pointing up, even though Johnson's 30 and he's been a journeyman. I'm telling you, I can get more out of him.
Right. I agree with that. I think Spo loved James Johnson. Frankly, loved this team. I think making the playoffs with this team would have been more satisfying maybe than making the playoffs with any team that Spoelstra's ever had. But you hear Spoelstra use the term Swiss Army knife. I know they've had that vision for Justice Winslow. If you can use it on a player on this current roster, it would be James Johnson. Mm-hmm. He can defend at a high level. We saw last year that he can hit the three, a career high in three-pointers, shot 34% from distance, obviously can rebound. And last year, we saw a part of his game that no other coach allowed him to do, which was facilitating and being a ball handler.
A point center.
Exactly. And James Johnson was so appreciative of that. He told me and other reporters multiple times, Eric is the first coach that's allowed me to get a team into offense and show a skill that I've always known I had. But other teams, hint, Dwayne Casey in Toronto, for example, wouldn't let me show. So he's very much appreciative of that, and that paid dividends. I asked Spo about his decision to let James do that, and he said, well, we saw him do some ball handling in September during informal workouts.
Right.
We liked it. He showed he can handle it in games without being chaotic and throwing balls away, resulting in turnovers. And so they gained confidence in him, and then they let him do it. So to me, by today's NBA standards, he is worth $10, $11, $12 million a year.
All right, we will continue with more of this. A lot of Heat talk, and, you know, normally we don't talk much Marlins here, but we're going to have to. USA Today is reporting that, you know, a fire sale is imminent. We're going to talk about that, and there are a lot of tentacles to that story as well. Alongside Barry Jackson, I'm Frito. We will take you up until 10 o'clock, but before we go further, let's go to headlines.
Here's what's trending now in Miami on The Ticket. WAXYAM South Miami and FM 104.3 HD2 Miramar.
The radio home of the Miami Heat.
And as we were just talking about, the James Johnson watch continues as talks between his agent and the Heat are ongoing. Miami brought Dion Waiters back into the fold yesterday by agreeing to a reported four-year $52 million deal and now was looking to lock up Johnson. Stay tuned to AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, The Ticket, for all the latest Heat-related news. As I just mentioned as well, USA Today is reporting that in order to shed payroll to make the Marlins more attractive to potential buyers, A fire sale is not only expected, but imminent. The Herald's Clark Spencer reports that the team is heavily scouting five other teams' farm system in preparation for possible deals. On the field, the Marlins fell 4-3 to the Cardinals. Now, Barry, I didn't think I'd utter this sentence 2 years ago when the Marlins sent him down to the minors and kept him down too long in order to set back his free agency. But Marcell Ozuna, he drove in all three runs, and Barry, he now leads the majors with 67 runs batted in.
Amazing.
Leads the majors.
Amazing.
Miami opens up a three-game series tomorrow in San Francisco to wind up the schedule prior to next week's All-Star game, which will be held in Marlins Park, and those are your headlines. So there we go. The Heat have a decision to make. Obviously, they're doing their best to lock up James Johnson. His agent, Mark Bartlestein, he and Riley talked last night. They said they were going to talk today. I assume they've been talking on and off all day. It seems like both sides want this enough that a deal is going to be struck. But now they've got a decision by midnight tomorrow, right, to whether to decide to pick up the one-year $6.3 million option on Wayne Ellington. You leaning toward what? Do you think they'll bring the band back together with Ellington?
At this point, I would lean toward them bringing him back for a couple of reasons. One, they really valued everything he gave him. Obviously, he's known for his outside shooting. He was very effective at that. Yep. But also proved to be a total professional, good locker room guy, was willing to defend, did everything Spoelstra asked him. Just a true pro, and I think they really liked his presence in the locker room. And he has clearly an asset that works well with his roster, which is someone who's able to stretch the floor, which is a style that was so successful for them last year. So to me, Ellington at $6.3 million is good value. Now, I know some people might wonder, wait a minute, why don't you cut Wayne Ellington and use the money towards somebody else? My response to that would be this. One, another team can pick him up off waivers for the $6.3 million, and he must report to that team. This is not a case of the Heat being able to cut him, and then Ellington can strike a deal immediately with Miami.
Right.
So there would be some risk in that. The other thing is, even if you cut Ellington and end up with, I don't know, 10 to 14 million in cap space, who do you want to give it to who's all that attractive, who's remaining? Now, some people are going to shout Rudy Gay. My response to that would be, this is a guy coming off a major Achilles injury,
yep,
who is not generating a ton of interest in free agency, certainly not at the dollars that he wants. So I think while there's some level of Heat interest in Rudy Gay, I do not sense any appetite to give him an enormous contract.
You think?
So I, yeah.
Go ahead. No, please.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out Rudy Gay by any means, but I would be shocked if the Heat gives him 14, 15, 16 million a year, because nobody's offering that.
He turned down, I believe, a $14.1 million option to remain with Sacramento, did he not?
Exactly.
And I mean, now, some guys like David West. David West, it was three years ago, would have earned about 11 and change or 12 and change with the Indiana Pacers. He was under contract. He turned down that option to sign for 1 million and change with San Antonio because I'd read at the time he'd already earned $87 million, more than enough if you invest it correctly to live 20 lifetimes, if he'd saved his money well. He wanted to win a ring. Now, he didn't know that last year, not this past season, the one before, that San Antonio would get knocked out in the second round. He then went to the Warriors. Obviously, this, you know, last month he won his first ring. I don't know how much Rudy Gay has made, but if he comes here, Barry, he's not looking for a ring. I mean, the Spurs had a chance to win a ring. You know, maybe not as good as Golden State. Golden State was the overwhelming favorite, and they won a ring. If Rudy Gay comes here, now he's got a place here. He's wanted to play here for a while, but if he's coming here, at least in the near future, it's not to hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy over his head.
Right, exactly. It would be because he likes South Florida, has a place in Southwest Ranches, and has always liked the idea of playing here. There's no question the guy can score. He's the most prolific scorer remaining in free agency now that Nowitzki is going to be off the board. The questions with Rudy Gay, toughness, that's been raised.
Okay.
Some people also wonder, well, is he someone who has been part of winning organizations before? Obviously, there have been places where he's been moved, like Toronto, which started winning after he left. So this is not to blame Rudy Gay.
Didn't they get him from Memphis?
Yes. Yes. So this is not to say that Rudy Gay is not a winner. It's just to say that the places that he's played historically have not won, for factors certainly partially beyond his control. So there are issues with Rudy Gay that I think any team will have to consider. So for those who say, okay, it's a no-brainer to try to clear out 13 or 14 million in space and give it to Rudy Gay, it's more complicated than that. Now, beyond Rudy Gay, the list of free agents left is very poor. There's no one who's worth giving 10, 11, 12 million to. Maybe some guys worthy of the mid-level. Maurice Spates, CJ Miles, a guy who's a good three-point shooter who's played for Indiana and elsewhere. But if people look at this list, beyond Rudy Gay and Rajon Rondo and Derrick Rose, and obviously no need for Rondo and Rose here.
No.
There's no one on this list that you're really clamoring to get cap space for.
That's like, you know, when they signed, when they agreed to deal with Deion, I mean, he was, in my opinion, the best shooting guard out there. I mean, who was out there that who would you have rather out if people, and I haven't heard of any to my show yesterday when I was filling in for Ethan, or seen texts where people say, oh no, we shouldn't have signed Waiters. I mean, I think people were impressed with, maybe some people think that, all right, there wasn't a large enough sample size and maybe are a little skittish about a four-year, $52 million deal. But he remade himself here. And again, a lot of credit goes to the coaching staff. The market for shooting guards is pretty thin.
It was. Yeah, if you didn't re-sign Deion Waiters, your other best options for starting shooting guard were Aaron Aflalo, who's a, you know, mediocre starting NBA shooting guard, been around Knicks, Nuggets. Thabo Sefolosha, who's more a backup at this point, known for his defense, not much of a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald Henderson, a guy who's played for Charlotte and Philadelphia and Portland. So Deion was by far the best shooting guard left. So for people who wonder about the money paid, 4 years, $52 million, to me, that's good value for him. Remember, with Deion, not only did we see the evolution in his offensive game, but he was a very good defender last year. He held the players he was guarding to among the lowest shooting percentages in the league of any guard. He was top three in that category. We also saw in the second half of the season, he became a better clutch player. Hit 5 for 9 on clutch threes after the All-Star break. We saw him be able to finish at the rim more efficiently, something you and I have talked about, Josh.
It started off very slowly there. He'd get to the rim, he'd penetrate, but then the percentage there were way too low.
Exactly, yeah. I was looking it up today. On baskets or shot attempts in the basket area right under the rim, last season he missed 10 of his first 14.
Wow.
You know how hard that is to as an NBA player? But got significantly better as the season progressed. And the other big thing with keeping him is he works so well with Dragic.
That's what I meant at next point. They gelled so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, they played great together. They really did.
Absolutely. And when they were on the court together, the Heat shot threes at an incredibly high rate. I looked this up today as well. 47% was the Heat's three-point shooting percentage when Waiters and Dragic were on the floor together in the second half of the season. That's just remarkable.
I know fans aren't going to care about this and probably doesn't think it translates to the floor. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But one of the things you just said was Wayne Ellington being a good locker room guy. And maybe it doesn't make a difference, but if you go into the Heat locker room, guys who are joining lockers are Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters. I mean, they got along there well. They talked all the time. And, you know, just whatever worked on the floor, it worked well. Maybe some translated from there. I don't know. But maybe they were able to talk basketball enough that they could, you know, that helped them mold each other into playing well together.
Yeah, this team does not suffer fools, and they don't want knuckleheads. And just for people who think that maybe the whole issue of a guy's character is overrated, keep this in mind. When you're 10-31, you need, or 11-30 in the Heat's case, at the All-Star.
Right.
At the midway point, rather. You need guys who are not going to be cancers, not going to be distractions, guys who still want to come to work every day, put in the effort, not be driven by personal agendas. And they had that last year. Because if you don't have that, there is no way you're going to dig out of a hole 19 games under 500. You're going to have players who are thinking only about themselves, looking for their own shot, thinking about their next contract. And the fact that this the Heat team was not motivated by selfish motives, I think, is admirable. And it's a reason why the Heat wants to keep so many of these players.
If you want to get in, we'd like your calls, comments, or questions about the Miami Heat. And the number is 786-360-0790. We've opened up the phone lines for that. Several questions we could talk about. Look, if they do sign Wayne Ellington, if they agree to a deal with James Johnson, you're essentially bringing the team back together. Yes, there are a few changes. You're minus Willie Reed, who I hear may end up in Golden State. You brought in Bam Adebayo. I'm still going to always question if I'm pronouncing that right. So, you know, there's some minor tinker, maybe some guy with the mid-level exception, but basically the roster is the same. Would you as fans be okay with that? Now, again, this is a roster that when healthy, and even though Deion Waiters wasn't healthy toward the end of the season because he, you know, that ankle, but when 30-11, excuse me, and Curtis and I got into a debate yesterday. He thinks they'll win 50 games. I'm not ready to drink that much Heat Kool-Aid. Now, they were 41-41. after a dreadful 11-30 start. I think that if they remain healthy, 45 wins possible, 47, maybe 48, 50, I hope I'm wrong. I'm just not ready to go that high quite now.
Right. I'm not ready to go as high as 50 either. I think it's possible, but I want to see more. And there are three variables that we don't know. We don't know if Justice Winslow can shoot, right?
Correct.
We thought that there'd be improvement last year, but because of the wrist and all the other injuries, we weren't able to get a good sense of that. We don't know how good Bam Adebayo will be in his first year. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be a rotation player who's actually going to make an impact? And the third thing we don't know, which is most interesting, is the Dion Waiters we saw late February and March. Is this the new Dion Waiters? Will he build on this and become a guard who would be in the discussion for an all-star appearance? Or will he revert back to the first 4 years of Dion Waiters, an erratic guy who is basically a fringe NBA starter, more of a backup? That, to me, is as big as anything in knowing whether this is a 40-win team or potentially a 50-win team.
That was Barry Jackson. I'm Frito, of course. You're listening to AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2. The Ticket will take your calls if you'd like to get in. Lines are wide open. It's 786-360-0790. We're back after this. Come join us and the Ticket promotions team for an all-star broadcast this Monday at Black Market in downtown Miami, just off Biscayne. We're giving away a pair of all-star Fan Fest tickets every half hour. It begins at 4 p.m. There will be all-star specials and more. Black Market Miami, presented by Red Rabbit. It takes the Miami sports fan back to the 80s. Black Market, the future of the sports bar with the history of Miami. On AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, the official radio partner of the 2017 All-Star Week. Looking forward to that. Are you going to the future? I'm not going to the Futures game. Are you going to that?
Not to the Futures game. We'll be there Monday, which will
be
interesting.
As I will be, too.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of activity, I know, for media on the field on Monday afternoon. All the All-Stars are lined up by the outfield walls.
Really?
So we get to talk to the... I can't remember which is first, but both teams will get about 45 minutes with. So you just approach players on the outfield wall, or by the outfield wall.
You and I covered, and we'll get back to the Heat, I promise. That's Barry Jackson, of course. I'm Frito. The baseball general managers meetings a couple of Novembers ago. I think it was November of 2015. They were here in Boca. And the cool thing about that was when they made all the GMs available to us, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it was cool. They put all the GMs in this very big room, and they spread them out, and you could just walk up to any GM you wanted. For instance, Brian Cashman was talking to the New York media. They had a long time with him, and then they dissipated and went to other people. I was waiting in line patiently, and then I had about, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes alone with Brian Cashman. I was sort of the head of the line, and other people waited behind me to get what they wanted. But you could walk up to any GM you wanted of any team, and if you just waited till the other people were done, guess what? It was your turn. That was a terrific availability.
You know, that's one of the perks of covering owners' meetings or general managers' meetings in this case. Now, the way the NFL does it, which is great, is every March they have their owners' meetings.
I've been to one.
All the coaches come with their wives, and the owners are there too. And the league allows reporters to spend an hour with any AFC coach one day, any NFC coach the next day. They all sit at tables. It starts at 7 in the morning.
Yep, I was there.
So, right. So we've both sat at Adam Gase's table before, and before that, Joe Philbin's table, which was already, which was always thrilling. Gase was interesting last year. It's funny. Belichick shows up late to this traditionally, and then he says nothing. Of course.
Yeah.
So it's almost worthless to go to Belichick's table. But there have been some interesting coaches. Rex Ryan would always draw a crowd at these events. But that's the best thing that the NFL does for us, right? Giving us access to all the coaches in one room over two days.
Again, the AFC is one day. The NFC is another day. It's fantastic access. And you, if you want to go stand around a table, you know, or sit there if you can, and, you know, they'll talk for an hour and answer any and all questions. I won't say who, but Adam Gase, I think it was his first one. One of the reporters, local reporters, asked him a few questions, and he's like, who are your sources? They're terrible. You're like 0-for-4 now.
And I was just thinking of that story.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to embarrass the guy.
No.
But I'm like, oh, my God, he's calling out a guy in front of all of us on the record.
Yeah, and we knew at that point that Adam Gase has a little bit of an edge, which he has shown since as well. Adam Gase, little tolerance for anonymous sources. Doesn't like players in his locker room speaking anonymously. He told his players this. And in fact, now, I was telling you this, Josh, if you use an anonymous source as a player, if you don't give the player's name, you will in all likelihood receive a call from the Dolphins telling you that Adam Gase is quite mad at you.
Okay.
And I've never seen that before. Yeah. Covering sports here for 30 years, never seen another coach do that.
All right. Well, yeah, he does have an edge. Absolutely. That's Barry Jackson, the information guy. Frito here alongside him. 786-360-0790. Let's get to your phone calls. A lot of conversation, of course, initially about the Heat. And first up is Will in Miami Shores. Good evening, Will.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
So I just want to talk about the Heat a little bit from a fan perspective. Okay. As a Heat fan, I'm really excited about this season. I think, you know, sure, going after Gordon Hayward, I think that was, you know, something that a lot of fans that I talk to, a lot of my friends, and we were kind of lukewarm on Gordon Hayward. Like, is this guy really worth the type of money, like a max contract? And I really couldn't see a lot of people around Miami having a lot of conviction in that. And for me, just as a fan, I mean, I'm much more comfortable with Deion Waiters 4 years, $52 million, than I am Gordon Hayward 4 years, $124 million. I mean, people forget Deion Waiters, he's only 25 years old. He still really hasn't reached the prime of his career. I mean, he's probably just entering the prime of his career. He's in a great system here in Miami. And you know what? As I think most Heat fans would agree that this is an exciting product for the upcoming season, because you went 30-11 when the team was finally healthy. It would really have been a shame if you couldn't see that again with a full season, with you know a full off season of practice to get, you know, back in shape and gel together again, et cetera, everybody knowing what their roles are. So I think, you know, as a Heat fan, I've bought into this product for the upcoming season, bringing everybody back together. And I think another way that Heat fans should look at this is, we essentially have a free agent-like addition, and that's Justice Winslow. We haven't seen how he can play with the team that went 30-11. That could be kind of like you're getting a great addition to that lineup. And, you know, on top of that, I was really surprised by the statistic that you guys mentioned, that Deion Waiters was top three defensive shooting guard in the league. That's really surprising to me. And if you have a guy like Deion Waiters that's a top defensive shooting guard, and a guy like Justice Winslow who's, you know, always kind of being applauded for his defense, you got some of the best defensive wings in the NBA. And then you got a guy like Hassan Whiteside who could defend the middle. This could be one of the best defensive teams in the NBA if everything shakes out. So just wanted to give you my perspective as a Heat fan. I've bought into the product. I'm excited for the upcoming season, and go Heat. Looking forward to it.
Well, I just Thanks, got Will. A phone call. That man has actually been invited to the arena to tape a Heat ad tomorrow.
That's right.
Because that's exactly what the organization would tell you, right? They're getting a new player practically in Justice Winslow.
That's one way to look at it, sure.
It is.
When a rookie is out for the year in any sport, you know, next year, well, you essentially have two first-rounders. The one you drafted last year, you know, maybe like Dante Fowler in Jacksonville, third overall pick. Never played a down his rookie year. And then next year you have two first-rounders.
Yeah, all he left out was that the second year in Spo's system they're going to be better, and our hot dogs in American Airlines Arena taste better. He could have added that as well. But you know what? It's going to be a fascinating lab experiment, I think, Josh, to see this team together again. Because now you will know if what we saw second half of last year was some sort of just crazy thing that can happen in sports, a bunch of decent players getting hot and putting together a win streak that would never be repeated again. Or we'll see if there was something to it and whether this team can sustain a 50 to 60 win pace. To me, it's going to be very compelling.
Absolutely. I mean, last year, how many teams, even the great ones, won 13 in a row? They were 11-30 when it started. They were coming off a road trip in which they were 1-6. I do remember, and I've said this before, that Spoelstra came. That was basically a West Coast road trip that ended in Milwaukee. They took a day off. They went back to practice, and Spo said at that practice, No. I saw really good things on the road, but you went 1-6. I know, but I saw really good things. They rattled off 13 wins in a row. In that 13-game win streak, they beat Golden State, best team in basketball at the time, best record. Houston, during that streak, they beat twice, and both times Houston had the third best record. But then, later in the year, I use this line, it's because it's one Boog Shambi always used. They laid a turd against the Knicks. I mean, how do you lose that Friday night game against the Knicks and a couple of other losses where you just shook your head? I think it was Philadelphia one of them?
What doomed them, right, they did lose at Philadelphia. Also, the Denver loss at home as well. They lost to the Knicks and Denver, two home games they badly needed. What ultimately doomed them as well was the Bulls getting hot late, because the Heat in the final week took care of business. They won a big game in Washington that I covered. One in Charlotte on that final road trip as well, came home, beat Cleveland again. To me, one of the most impressive things, you mentioned two of them, the Golden State win and certainly the Houston win.
Wins,
both of them.
Two.
Both of them, exactly. But to me, third on that list of impressive things was winning back-to-back games against Cleveland. And I know that LeBron was rested in one of them, but to beat them, obviously with Cleveland shorthanded in Miami, and then go to Cleveland
right.
and win, to me was very impressive. So I'm fascinated to see how this group will play together, which leads to the question, what's their ceiling, do you think?
All right, well, that's a, you know what, we'll throw that out to the listeners as well. Again, I'm guessing, if everything breaks right, 47-48 wins. That's my guess. I could be way off. I hope I'm wrong, and Curtis is right that they win 50 wins. If put to you, what's answer your own question.
I would say I would go 50 as a ceiling just because even though everything would have to break right for them to get there, I wouldn't rule it out. Now, as far as seeding, I would say what's likely is fifth or sixth. I think their roster, presuming they bring back Ellington or get a veterans comparable, would be similar to the Milwaukee Bucks, which would get you probably fifth or sixth in the conference.
Well, okay, the teams that are better than they are right now, certainly Cleveland, Boston, Toronto brought back Ibaka and Lowry. I think I was a little surprised Lowry returned. I'd put them better. The Wizards, by the way, they're going to match probably Otto Porter, right? He signed
correct.
A max, $106 million offer sheet with the Nets.
Yes.
I would say they're better. Who am I missing?
It's Charlotte? Four. Well, Charlotte to me would be in the 5-7 range with Miami and Milwaukee. They obviously have gotten better with Dwight Howard, assuming that Howard doesn't fall off the cliff. And Malik Monk
right.
was a very good value for them at their place in the draft. So I would say those are the seven likely Eastern Conference playoff teams. The eighth is wide open on paper.
But the teams that fell back, Atlanta, whom they you know, Dwight Howard traded Atlanta to, or I'm sorry, Atlanta traded Dwight Howard to Charlotte. They lost Paul Millsap, signed an offer sheet or a deal with Denver. And we'll talk, by the way, about the migration from east to west. A lot of that. Hayward, it was the only big player I can think that went from west to east. Chicago fell back. They released Rondo. They traded Butler. And who am I missing? Indiana, of course. They traded Paul George to Oklahoma City. They got Victor Oladipo and a huge four-year, $84 million deal. But those three teams fell backwards. I think by the Heat bringing everybody back, if they stay healthy, just because of what the other teams did, I think the Heat leapfrogged them.
Right. I do, too. At this point, I might give a little bit of the edge to the Milwaukee Bucks because they get Jabari Parker back.
Right, and
he
got
missed the second half of the season. Exactly. They have Chris Middleton for the whole season. Last year, he missed the first half of the year. But I think their rosters are very similar. To me, the fascinating thing is it possible the Heat could catch Toronto or Washington? Because if you do that, then you're in the mix for home court in the first round.
Right.
Toronto, their performance against Cleveland in the postseason was embarrassing.
Sure.
And they decided to bring this group back with Lowry and Ibaka, but you wonder, have they maxed out? Will they become somewhat disinterested after realizing that they're not going to get past Cleveland with this group? With Washington, obviously, injuries have been an issue in the past with Bradley Beal. You wonder if Gortat is going to not be as effective as he gets older. So those two teams, while better than Miami on paper, I wouldn't bet everything that I own that they will definitely be better than Miami come February, March.
Texter writes in, Frito, any chance we re-sign Reed? I don't think there's the money there, especially if they pick up the option on Ellington and come to a deal with James Johnson. He can get more elsewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be surprised if Willie doesn't end up with something in the $5 to $8 million range because teams with a bigger salary cap exception than Miami has, can offer him that money.
Yeah.
Now, Miami can offer the 4.3 exception. I don't know that that will be enough. And I think at this point, the sense I get is that the Heat expects that he will not be back.
Let's go to the phones here. Let's go to David in Hialeah. Hello, David. You're on the ticket. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir.
I got to agree with a lot of the points that the last caller made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about this season. As far as the ceiling of this team, if everything breaks right, you know, if Winslow comes out and turns out to be a revelation, like a lot of us Heat fans think that he can be, if you see that continued improvement from the core of this roster, which, you know, I think they're capable of doing, I don't know, the way that the East is looking right now, we could definitely challenge everybody in the East, including the Boston Celtics, who I don't think got much better by adding Gordon Hayward, by the way. Kind of glad we didn't get sign Gordon Hayward. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, yes, they have LeBron, they got Kyrie, but the rest of that squad is old. It's kind of fragile, and I could see them falling apart in the East. I don't know. I am a Heat fan. I'm a homer, but I'm excited about this season, and yeah, I can't wait to see how it turns out.
David, what did you spike your Heat Kool-Aid with? I mean, I just don't think they can challenge Boston. Boston's better now, and I think they got better with Hayward. Well, I'm making fun of you a little bit, so I'm not trying to be mean, but all kidding aside, why do you think, with the Heat essentially bringing everybody back, the Celtics adding, now you might not see, you know, he's maybe not a number one player, but adding the best free agent out there. I'm not counting Durant and Curry. They were always going to re-sign with Golden State. But the Celtics signing the best free agent available, the Heat essentially staying the same. Why do you think the Heat have closed the gap with Boston?
I don't think that as we speak, we've closed the gap with Boston. I'm saying best case scenario.
Okay.
Me personally, the Boston is going to lose some pieces by adding Gordon
Hayward. True, they're shopping Crowder, Smart, and Avery Bradley, maybe, right?
Right, Jay Crowder potentially going to Utah on a sign and trade.
Okay.
And they already lost Kelly Olynyk, so they have size,
right,
you know, to match up with Hassan Whiteside. And I don't know, it's for the rest of that roster, I don't really see the point guard being that much of a star. He plays no defense. Gordon Hayward is, he's whatever. what's his name? The guy that they signed last year from Atlanta?
Al Horford.
He's whatever, too. He's not a star. Those guys, I don't see what all the hoopla in Boston's about. Yeah, they got lucky last year, and LeBron decided not to play in the last five games or whatever. But they're not that good. Let's be serious with ourselves. Can you see them matching up with the Warriors?
No, I
can't see that.
No, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. I think he's a bit too optimistic, but what he said seems obvious at the end. I agree with him. No, they don't match up with the Warriors, but by the same token, Cleveland doesn't match up with the Warriors. No, nobody, in my opinion, Barry, is within shouting distance of Golden State right now. Still, even after the draft, even after free agency, there is still, in my opinion, a huge gap between them and the other 29 teams.
No question. You're just competing, basically, to make the NBA Finals.
Yeah, who can lose to Golden State in the Finals?
Right. That's all you're competing for at this point. But, to me, the disappointing thing about the Hayward thing is that player would have positioned you to be the favorite in a post-LeBron Eastern Conference.
Correct.
If he does go to L.A. next year. And now, I think any reasonable person would say that Boston would be the favorite to emerge as the Eastern Conference front-runner if LeBron leaves, especially if their young players Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown develop. What we've seen of Jason Tatum in Summer League, which is sort of like NFL OTAs, you don't want to read too much into it. What we've seen so far from Tatum, very impressive.
Mitch and Boca, Nicholas and Coral Springs, John and Weston, you hold on. I promise we will get to your calls after the break. Others are welcome to join, 786-360-0790. I've got to scroll down to find it, Barry, but during the break, caller or texter had a couple of really, really good Heat-related questions. We'll get to that. I promise we'll get to your... Oh, one guy hung up already, the guy from Coral Springs. So there are several lines open if you want to get in your comments, your questions about the Heat, 786-360-0790. Listen for Just the Tips with Amber on the Ticket Thursday mornings in the 8 a.m. hour. It's sponsored by East Coast Public Adjusters. We've got your assets covered. Call 855-GET-ECPA or visit eastcoastpublicadjusters.com. Don't settle for less and listen to Just the Tips on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2. The Ticket. He's Barry Jackson. I'm Frito. We will take you till 10 o'clock. Happy to be with you on a Thursday. Hope your weekend goes well as the All-Star Game festivities are beginning. And they're going to have Fan Fest, of course. They're going to have a whole bunch of activities. And then Home Run Derby is Monday night. I wished, and they're not going to do this. This will really favor Stanton and Aaron Judge, that they would measure the homers, not the number of homers you hit, but the number of feet you hit. I would be cool to see Giancarlo Stanton hit 4 miles of homers tonight.
That would be, and I know ESPN's going to unveil all sorts of bells and whistles about distances and other things during the broadcast. It'll be a broadcast, by the way, without Chris Berman. For the first time since 1994, we will not hear back on home run calls. This was one of the assignments that he lost as part of his new ESPN deal. So we get Carl Ravich on TV and Boog Sciambi on radio right here.
I don't know how many people are going to miss the – maybe he's a good guy, but I mean, I don't know how many people are going to miss the back.
Yeah, had the shtick grown old,
I think it grew stale.
Yeah, I agree. I've talked with Berman about this over the years, and his explanation to me had always been, well, there are a lot of people who have never heard my nicknames or the back, so he says, I'm doing it for them. And I said, but what about people who say, and I've had a good-natured discussion with him about this a couple of times. Right. I said, what about people who say there's just enough already? You know, enough with the nicknames, enough with the act. And he said he just doesn't agree with that.
All right. Well, you know, look, I'm a huge Boog Sciambi fan. I think he does everything well. One of the things I like about his home run calls is he doesn't have one. He just, whatever comes to mind at the time is what he says. He just doesn't do the same one, the same cookie cutter call, which we hear in town here all the time. Up and away all the time with every homer. It never varies. I don't like when it never varies. Just call what's in your mind. Don't automatically go back to this is my expression and I'm never varying it.
Yep. We've had some good baseball announcers pass through here with Boog and Dave O'Brien. I know Joe Angel had some detractors, but he was regarded as a good baseball announcer. Len Casper as well.
Casper's great. I will say this about Joe Angel, nice guy, but when the Marlins won the 97 World Series, his call was, the Marlins are in the win column. Like, really? They just won the World Series, and you can't vary? You're just giving that same stale call, the same. You couldn't come up with something better? You'll never have that chance again, and that's it?
Yeah, he was ripped for that. Right, that was hardly an original call. And Rich Waltz, I think, is
like
well-received here.
I do.
He really grows on people.
Yeah, I like Rich a lot. 786-360-0790. Mitch in Boca's been holding. Hello, Mitch. You're on the ticket. Welcome.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, sir. What's up?
Good show. Anytime talking about the heat in the middle of 90-degree weather, it's a great thing. My battery's a little low on my phone, so I'm going to ask you three questions, and I'll hang up and just listen through the radio. Number one, can the Heat keep Magruder at a starting level? Because, you know, it is what it is. I love Magruder, but still he doesn't give you a lot. Number two, and I think that, you know, everybody wants to blow Josh McRoberts away, including myself. But what if the guy somehow comes back healthy? Can he be what happens if he becomes maybe a semblance of himself from a couple years ago? And then number three, can you waste I love Haslam and love what he's done like everybody else. But can you waste a roster spot with him, even at the veteran's minimum, when you really want to develop Bam, the draft pick? All right, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Magruder was number one. You know, when I was with Eric Spoelstra, his media availability on the first day of, like, training camp for the Summer League, which was, I guess, 2 weeks ago, I want to say, couldn't say enough about Magruder. Was disappointed he wasn't on the all-rookie team. Was disappointed, really, that he didn't get consideration for the all-defensive team.
Yeah, we saw such progress in Magruder's game over the second half of the season. Ideally, he's not a starter on a good team. I mean, ideally, he's in your rotation, but coming off the bench as a ninth or tenth man. If they don't sign Rudy Gay, and again, I'm not ready to rule out Rudy Gay by any means. It's a possibility. If they don't sign him, then your front runners to start at small forward would be Justice Winslow and Rodney Magruder. If Winslow is healthy, if he doesn't have an abysmal preseason, I think he would be the favorite over Magruder if Rudy Gay is not on the roster. But keep in mind, the Heat plays a ton of three-guard lineups, and those lineups during the second half of the season were, by and large, very successful last year.
Yep.
Deion Waiters can guard opposing team small forwards. Josh Richardson has the length and the defensive acumen to be able to do that. So you will see this team play a lot of three guards. So I wouldn't get too concerned about who plays small forward, because it's possible that Miami could go with three guards for half the game. Now, as far as McRoberts, he raised McRoberts.
Oh, that's right.
Is there, Josh, a more unpopular athlete in South Florida? Now, I was just thinking back, Heath Bell, Sammy Smith, guys who people wince when you say their name. And it's a shame because he's a very nice gentleman.
He's a nice guy. He just is always hurt. He just hasn't lived up to expectations. That's a great question. Guys that are just, I'm sure there have been. Go ahead, Grant. It looks like you want to say one of them.
No, I was going to say we have breaking news.
What's that?
Miami Heat have signed Kelly Olynyk.
Really? Kelly Olynyk?
Wow.
Four-year, $50 million contract.
4 years, 50? Is Woj reporting that?
Woj is reporting it.
It's so funny because I called his agent today.
Or he's telling
you what?
I called his agent, Greg Lawrence, today. Could not get a hold of him just to inquire about Kelly Olynyk. And so there you go.
Wow.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, he was probably the best free agent available, right?
Yeah.
He's 7 feet, a center naturally, can play power forward, does have range. And
wow, this comes out of left field.
It did. It's funny because someone mentioned his name to me today, and I called Greg Lawrence, the Los Angeles-based agent, several times, did not answer, and now we know something was percolating. Kelly Olynyk.
You don't often hear things that are kept quiet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Manny Navarro right now is typing away furiously because you're on the air here, and you guys are
exactly.
Someone's
I'm
always
sure
got to remain available to write.
Right. Exactly.
If you saw here, Perry's checking his phone now. He's going crazy. Wow, this one is out of left. We'll take your reactions to that. 786-360-0790. Remember, he and Whiteside, he baited Whiteside a couple years ago and got him tossed out of a game, I believe.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There is some history there.
Well, that'll dissipate very quickly.
Right. Yeah, I would think so. You know, we saw Kelly Olynyk obviously at his best in that game 7.
Yep.
Of the
26
Eastern
points,
semifinals,
right?
Right, that was Kelly Olynyk at his best.
Yeah, I'm not sure who'll get that. That was an amazing game. It's one of those. What do you make 7 3-pointers or something like that? It was just, you know, where the basket must have looked about 20 feet wide.
Right, right, exactly. Well, this will take up a sizable chunk of their cap space. 4 years, 50.
So they have room now for.
Well, the question
JJ?
Is,
does this mean Ellington, they're not going to pick up? I mean, I'm just trying to think of how do they free up money now?
Well, I guess with $12 million, that would bring them down to 4 years, 20, 50 would start at about 12 with raises every year of 5%.
So you had $25 million, right?
So that would get you 11. You could still do James Johnson if you want, if you get him to agree to a deal, $11 million. You could get a little bit more by cutting Josh McRoberts.
Yep.
And extending his cap hits.
That would free up, what, $2 million this year or $4 million this year?
That would free up $4
million.
Because it would be cap hits of $2 million each of the next 3 years.
Okay.
So, I tell you what this gives the Heat is great front court depth. Because now you have Whiteside, you have Olynyk who can play alongside him because he does have range. And if you wanted the best free agent out there, there wasn't a ton left, but Olynyk arguably was the best free agent out there with Indiana. Among the suitors, I know Atlanta had some interest, according to reports. So, just a fascinating development.
Grant just told me, I asked him to look it up. Kelly Olynyk is 26. The reason I ask is Woj is reporting that, according to Kelly Olynyk's agent, there's a player option for the fourth year. So he'll be 29 if he tries to opt out then. You know, that's still in his prime.
Right.
He's age 29.
Right.
Exactly. Wow, big news. Again, that's huge. John is in Weston. Good evening, John. What do you think?
Good evening. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Kind of shocked by that, but my question was going to be about where does Josh Richardson and Taylor Johnson factor in after this year, but after that contract?
Well, Tyler Johnson is going to make
the one they're giving to James Johnson.
Tyler Johnson's making $5.9 million this year. Barry, next year he's supposed to make what, about $19 million
goes up to next year. Yep,
and then a lot the year after that. It's a 4-year, $50 million deal, heavily backloaded in the last 2 years.
Correct, correct.
So, I'm sorry, the question again, sir?
Where do they factor in? Because I envision when Josh Richardson's healthy and consistent, more importantly, I feel he's a huge X factor for the team. Making threes, playing defense. I mean, when he came back from being injured at the end of this last season, it took him a little while to get back into a groove. But once he started, I think, trusting himself, he played a lot better. And you could see him playing much better defense, trusting himself, and helping the team a lot more. But how does this factor in into the future if he plays this whole year healthy, consistent, between himself, Tyler Johnson, and I guess, future contracts that they may be handing out.
All right, thanks for the call. I'm sorry, we just got to get, we're up against the break here. Barry?
Yeah, well, I tell you a couple things I've learned in the last few minutes. The Heat's intention is still to try to keep James Johnson. They are still working through that contract. What this does is it makes Wayne Ellington unlikely. It looks like they won't have enough cap space for both. So it looks like Johnson and Ellington, we have a little more clarity on them. James Johnson, Heat still looking to keep working on a deal. Ellington, probably no room for.
All right, 786-360-0790. Robert in Miami, you hold on. Others, welcome to join. Your reaction to the report by Woj that the Heat and free agent Kelly Olynyk, now his rights had to be renounced by Boston in order to try to clear cap space for when they signed Gordon, or agreed to a deal with Gordon Hayward, and they brought his talents down to South Beach. He agreed to a four-year, $50 million deal. We'll get your reaction, 786-360-0790. Back after this.